If you would like to open up your Bibles for our considering of God's Word, Colossians chapter 3 is where we're going to be. If you don't have a Bible with you or a browser, there are Bibles underneath your chairs, and so you can grab one of those and turn to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to begin at verse 12. So this is that one Latin word that we for 5 weeks have been considering. Sola, alone. And today, we're going to consider that how all of our lives, in everything that we do, that's been given, that we're about, flows out from the fact that it is Christ alone who saves us, who rescues us from sin and death and the power of evil. And all of this out of God's grace alone. Sola gratia. And we receive this salvation through faith alone. And we know all of this, of Christ and His work, of God's favor and mercy and grace, of a faith gifted to us that receives. We know all of that because it being revealed in Scripture alone. So, today, God's glory alone. That all of what God has done through Christ and grace and faith and Scripture, it is all gift. And what flows out of our life, what matters most in our Christian faith through all of these things, is the acknowledgement, the recognition, the reality that it is all to God's glory alone, out of which we live. Now, you won't find one of these at your corner store. This is a scalpel. And this is what some of what Christ and His work does. It is surgical. It is precise. It needs to get out the stuff that's kind of down deep in there. And our great physician, with the skill that only he has, deals with those things of sin and death. But Jesus, in His goodness and mercy and grace, is not just this kind of precision. That His mercy and grace falls into something of all of our life, utilized day in and day out. Remember one of the, you remember this? I've been having problems with the clicker. There we go. Thanks, Kiers. I remember being a kid and going to the corner hardware store. It is a Swiss Army knife, that's right. I mean, my eyes lit up. Look at all the stuff you can do. I mean, you can saw something like a piece of wood. You can scale a fish. You know, something I was real concerned about as a young boy, you can file your nails and clip your toenails. You know, you can do that with this, right? I mean, come on, everything. You can get the stuff out of your teeth. There's even like a gloss thing. There's a drill thing. I mean, everything. It's a complete tool for life. And this is the way to understand the depth and the breadth of all that Jesus is for us in our life. And you'll see something of this as we turn to God's Word. And you'll see the utility of what it means that all of what's been given to us is to God's glory alone and how that flows out of our life. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. Look at all these things. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bear with one another, each other, forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. All the things that God has for us There's the word, and it kind of went forward on you. It kind of has a mind of its own today. Karis, can you move to the next slide? I'm just going to have Karis. There we go. Therefore. It's an important word in this text. And I'll never forget, it seems like I forgot a lot in seminary. You know, I try, to recall these things. But here's one where I can remember this, professor. They're brilliant with God's word. And we were studying, and he said this. Guys, when you get to this word, therefore, here's what you say. The word therefore, always ask, what's it there for? Remember that. When you get to the word therefore, always ask, what is it there for? It's important. And the word therefore is there for us as a connector. It is linking us back. Connecting God's word for us as it works out in our life. So let's go back to the connector, which takes us all the way back to Colossians chapter 3. Karis, if you could, there we go. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Here the scalpel does its work. To get in there, to get out and put to death all those things that seek to destroy and to rip us away from God and our trust in Him. But there is that word, therefore. Again, it's linking us up from the utility of all these things to God's glory that are lived out in our life, compassion, kindness, humility, to the surgical reality of putting to death things that would seek to destroy our life of faith and trust in Jesus. Where's the link? So we're asking, the word therefore is there. What is it there for? It links us back to Colossians chapter 3. Verses 1 and 2, the beginning of the chapter. Since, therefore, you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. You have been raised with Christ. This is resurrection language. This is death to life language. The heart of the Reformation that brought to the center Christ's work, to God's glory alone, all of these things was not, the message was not that God would make bad people good. That's not the message of our Christian faith. The message is here. The message is that God makes dead people alive. That's at the heart of what's going on. So set your minds on these things, being raised with Christ. But here we got that word again. Therefore. So, all right, hear my seminary prof. You see the word therefore, you ask, what is it? What's it there for? And then here it is in all of its glory and beauty. From Colossians chapter 2, the link, where it's taking us in the context of all that God would pour into our lives in His Word. All of those links that we would live and how we would live to God's glory is linked right here in Colossians chapter 2. When you were dead in your sins, God did not come in the flesh and give His life for you and for me to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. You were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your hearts. But here it is. God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He, God, has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Everything that we are and do begins and ends with what God in Christ has done for us. You were dead, but now God has made you alive in Christ. You were a sinner, but God has forgiven all your sins. You were in debt, condemned. But God Himself has taken all of that away and nailed it to a cross. All the benefits, everything in your life is gift, as well as the free gift of salvation. And it has come to you by God's hand alone. Soli Deo Glory. God be the glory alone. You see, all of our life and what comes and how our lives of faith are lived out, it's all pointing to what Christ has done first. Which brings us to the next part of God's Word in Colossians chapter 3. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. Be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Notice that God's glory, how that connects with our life in two ways. First, individually. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, down deep in the depths of who you are, in your soul and in your heart, the seat of all that's happening. That Christ's peace would be lived out there for you. And then that's extended into life together. Let the message of Christ dwell among you. That the message of Christ would be shared in our lives together. That we would be about humble, grace-filled, merciful message. And how we live among each other, expressed in worship, with gratitude in our hearts. So sing loud and bold today the message of Christ. It is ours to dwell in. The phrase Soli Deo Gloria was found expressed in the work of Johann Sebastian Bach. And the next slide is a picture of his music. This is one of his sacred music that he wrote to gift the church, to raise our voices, to sing to God. And at the end, you'll see it on the right, the Soli Deo Gloria. God's glory alone. That's it right there. That was for his sacred music. But you know what? It wasn't just his sacred music that would churn in him the glory of God. You see, Bach would also write music for just pleasure, for that would be outside of the worship of God. It was just good music. And when he would write just music that wasn't sacred, that was for just for the pleasure of just sheer music. The next slide shows one of those works. There it is again. SDG. Bach knew that whatever he was doing, writing sacred music to be shared and corporately together, that the church would lift up his voice, or moms and dads, families just enjoying music as outside of church, all of it, whatever he was doing, it was all to God's glory. And that's true for you and for me, that our lives would be lived to God's glory. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So let's ask the question, and this is how we'll close. Why does this sola matter? First, it keeps our good works good. I mean, it is so easy for our good works to just not be about the good of others, just to be good. I need them to be good for me, right? And that muddles up the whole deal. So here's how it plays out so often in my life, and maybe in yours too. So I finally get and gift my dear wife with a gift. It doesn't happen often, but I do. But I'm thinking in the back of my mind, see, now I got her a gift. She's going to have to get me something now. See how that works? It's about me. Or, how about in our relationship to God? I'm going to love God so that He'll love me back. I'm going to do something good so that God will see that I'm a good boy and that He'll love me more. And that is just twisting up. It doesn't keep our good works good. You see, God in His goodness loves you, period. It doesn't hinge on what you do or don't do. He loves you. And we love because He first loved us, not the other way around. We don't love so that He'll love us back. Or sometimes the way that plays out is I'll give grace or I'll be kind and show favor to kind of just help with my own burdened conscience. So it works a lot like this. I'll do something nice because there's something just churning in me that's eating me up. So I think if I do something good over here, I'll be able to kind of forget about this over here. But it's still, all that goodness and grace is still focused on me. But the sola, to God be the glory alone, keeps our good works good. Because everything is recognized, every gift, everything is from God alone. It's all gift for my life. And so we, in response to that, we don't have to make it about ourselves. We can keep pointing to Jesus and do good things in His name. And secondly, it keeps our focus on God, on Christ. It keeps our focus on Christ, which is so important because we can get so distracted. I made a huge mistake when I was teaching my child how to ride a bike. I made a big mistake. You see, in our cul-de-sac, where a few of our children learn to ride a bike, there's a basketball pole in one of those big things. By this time, I'm not as young as I used to be. I used to be able to run beside that bike and just run all around, and I could, you know, hang on until they kind of got it together. As I got older, especially with the littlest one, I could take about 3 kind of running steps and be like, you're on your own, I'm out of breath, I'm gonna die. So just kind of, you know, I hope you make it. But one of the things I was so concerned about in our cul-de-sac is I kept saying, you see that pole? You see that pole over there? You see that pole? You see that pole? Don't hit it, don't hit it, don't hit that pole. It's that pole, it's a big pole. That'll hurt if you hit it. And so wouldn't you know, I take 3 steps, I'm out of breath, I let go, and the focus in the mind and the heart was on the what? That pull, and boom, hit the pole, helmet went sideways, kept going, made it. Listen, if you focus on the wrong things, you're going to get hurt. And this sola keeps our focus on Christ alone. That all of our lives, look at Jesus, look to Jesus, fix your eyes on Jesus, look to Jesus, know on your journey, when you're pedaling fast, when you're going through life, keep focusing on Jesus. And that's what we look to. I I came across in this framing of what the Reformation is all about, because it's a big thing. 500 years to celebrate, like, how do you get it all in of all that was happening? And there's no way you can do it in one message, but I found one simple phrase that put it so clearly to me. I wanted to share it with you, and it was this. The Reformation is not about 95 theses nailed to a door. It is about one man nailed to a cross. You see, at the heart of what we celebrate, 500 years later, it is still all about Jesus. And what Jesus brings is all gift. And so our lives flow out of that gift. And we, with one single heartbeat, say, Soli Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory. In Jesus' name.